ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा शोज द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म टेक्स्ट 43 इत्थं विदित तत्वायं गोपिकायां स ईश्वरः वैष्णवीं व्यतनोन्मायां पुत्रस्नेहमयीं विभुः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन मदर यशोदा बाय द ग्रेस ऑफ द लॉर्ड कुड अंडरस्टैंड द रियल ट्रूथ but then again the supreme master by the influence of the internal potency yoga maya inspired her to become absorbed in intense material affection for her son. Purport. Although mother Yashoda understood the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of yoga maya. Unless she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? She could not think otherwise, and thus she forget all her philosophical speculations. This forgetfulness is described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of yoga maya. Mohana sadhar mayan mayam. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas the devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yoga Maya. Hare Krishna. I seek everybody's blessings, because as the translation goes, Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. So this is a very bewildering pastime. So therefore, we also need some grace. So I seek all the grace of all the assembled devotees over here, so that I can also understand this one and I can speak for only for my purification. So here Krishna, he is showing this universal form. So this is a very bewildering pastime. So why Krishna shows such type of pastimes? So that is also explained in the Shastras. It is explained in the Shastras, Trailokya Vismayakaram Kanta Krutya Dhara. That means there are four characteristics of this Leela. The first one is these are Atimartya. That means these are superhuman activities. So that's why it is bewildering. Because the Krishna, he comes in the form of the human being, but he is doing all the activities which are beyond the thinking of the human mind. So because of that, this is the first character, that these are always the bewildering. Then the second, that's why this Shastra quote, it explains Trailokya Vismayakaram, that it bewilders all the people in the three lokas. Then the second character is the Kanta Krutya Dharam. It, like the magnet, it attracts. So similarly, when the Lord does all these superhuman activities, so the living entity who is conditioned, he gets attracted to all these leelas. Otherwise, the person, he will be attracted to some other magic show or some other things. So that's why Krishna comes here, so that he is the original magician, that is the Yogeshwar. So he wanted to show his mystic powers. Then the third is, this is the chance for the conditioned living entities to go to the spiritual world, because they are enamored by the Supreme Lord's all these inconceivable pastimes, and they are attracted to the Lord and they start appreciating the leelas of the Lord, and ultimately they start the devotional service and they have the chance that they can go back home, back to Godhead. And the fourth character is, he wanted to declare that he is the Supreme Lord. Otherwise the people will think that this Bhagwan, that Bhagwan, there are so many different Bhagwans. So when Krishna comes here, he does all the superhuman activities so that he can establish that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. సో దీస్ ఆర్ ద ఫోర్ క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ వాట్ ద ఆచార్యస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దట్ వై కృష్ణ డస్ ఆల్ దీస్ డిఫరెంట్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ ఇన్కన్సీవబుల్ సూపర్ హ్యూమన్ యాక్టివిటీస్. దెన్ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఈజ్ వీ ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఆల్ కండిషన్ సోల్స్, సో హౌ వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇన్ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఈజ్ స్టార్టింగ్ దట్ బై ద గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ యశోద కుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ వట్ ఈస్ ద రియల్ ట్రూత్. దెన్ వట్ ఈస్ ద స్కోప్ ఆర్ అస్, బికాస్ వీ కెనాట్ గెట్ డైరెక్ట్లీ ద గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్, బట్ వీ కెన్ గెట్ ద గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్ త్రూ ది ఆచార్యస్. సో యూ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ బివిల్డరింగ్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ నాట్ గెటింగ్ బివిల్డర్డ్. సో హూ ఆర్ దిస్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ నాట్ గెటింగ్ బివిల్డర్డ్? దోస్ ఆర్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్స్ ఆర్ ద ఆచార్యస్. సో వెన్ యూ హియర్ ఆల్ దీస్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ దెమ్, దెన్ యూ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రియల్ ట్రూత్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ పాస్ టైమ్స్. సో టుడే వీ విల్ సీ దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ డిఫరెంట్ పాస్ టైమ్స్, ద ఇన్కన్సీవబుల్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ లార్డ్ డిడ్ ఇన్ సో మెనీ ఇన్కార్నేషన్స్. సో వాట్ ద ఆచార్యస్ టెల్ అబౌట్ ఆల్ దీస్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ సో దాట్ వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రియల్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దోస్ పాస్ టైమ్స్. అండ్ ఈవెన్ ఇన్ విష్ణు సహస్రనామ్, సో దెర్ ఆర్ 1000 నేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ విష్ణు. ద 159th నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ద విష్ణు ఈజ్ అతీంద్ర. అతీంద్ర మీన్స్ హీ హ్యాజ్ దీస్ ఇంద్రియాస్ ఆర్ ద సెన్సెస్, దే డస్ ఆల్ ది సూపర్ హ్యూమన్ యాక్టివిటీస్. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ అతీంద్ర. ఫర్ అవర్ ఇంద్రియాస్, అవర్ సెన్సెస్, వీ డస్ జనరలీ ద 5 టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్టివిటీస్, దట్ ఈస్ ద శబ్ద, స్పర్శ, రూప, గంధ అండ్ రస. బట్ లార్డ్ డస్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ అ వెరీ bewildering state, so because of that we cannot understand. Therefore the shastras also explained about the lord's activities as a shabdam, a sparsham, a rupam, a gandham, a rasam, a grahyam. So because of that it seems that these are all inconceivable superhuman activities, but when the acharyas explain what are the real truth, then we can understand that what is the real meaning of all these leelas. So now we are dealing with this, one of these bewildering activities where he is showing the Brahmanda Darshan. That in his, the Yashoda, she doesn't need any TV to see all the channels. But when Krishna opens his mouth, so he can show all so many different types of TV channels. So there is no need. But this is not the first time that Krishna is exhibiting this superhuman activity. In the same Srimad Bhagavatam, when in the 12th canto, there is again one incident where he shows his Brahmanda Darshan. So there was a sage whose name was Murkandu. So this Murkandu has got one son. So when the son is born, then it is the duty of the father that he has to do all the different sanskaras. So he started doing all the different sanskaras to his son. So when the Nama Samskara came, during that time he gave the name to this person Murkandu on his name as the Markandeya. So all the samskaras are done, and the culmination of all the samskaras was when he got the Brahmana Diksha. But as soon as when Markandeya got this Brahmana Diksha, he left his home and he went to directly to Himalayas. So on the banks of Pushpabhadra river, so he made ashram and he started doing all the tapa or the austerities, penances. So it is explained that for so many millions of years he did this austerity. So just by his austerity, so many people got bewildered. And one person who was bewildered was Indra, because always he bewildered when the other person does the austerities. So then, as usual, he sends all the Apsaras and the Kamadev and all those people. So all came over there and they created a very nice atmosphere like a Vasanta Rutu. But this Markandeya was so much engrossed in his sadhana or practice, he did not get bewildered. But on the contrary, the heat of the Markandeya Rishi's austerity, that was started burning all the Apsaras and all the people over there. So they could not succeed in their mission, so they left that place. And after that, the Naranarayan Rishi, who are none other than the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, they came and they gave darshan to this Markandeya Rishi. Then Markandeya Rishi, they asked, so please ask any boon. So that time he told that, I wanted to see your illusory energy. So this is also bewildering. because people just wanted to get out of this illusory energy. But here, this Markandeya Rishi, he did penances for so many years. But what is his desire? That he wanted to see this Maya or the illusory energy. Then Narayana Rishi told, okay, so be it, tathastu. Then they left. But after some time, he was living in his ashram, but he is always every day meditating that when that moment will come, that I am going to see this Maya. He was hankering for that. But the time has to arise. So when it was the time for the pralay, so during that time, the real tsunami occurs. So everywhere there was a water. Whatever we see, the tsunami, they are just a trailer, but the main movie of the tsunami was that when the pralay or the devastation occurs. So during that time, he got bewildered. He could not understand what to do. Sometimes he was going into the water, sometimes up. But this duration, it takes for a long time. So he was just tossing up and down, up and down. He could not understand what to do. And in this way, again, so many millions of years went. So he was tormented by thirst, hunger, and all these things. And he could not understand what to do. And ultimately, one fine day, he saw that there was one island, and on that island there was a banyan tree. And he came just to near to that island, and he saw this banyan tree. And on the northeastern side, so that is in Sanskrit called as Ishanya, so he had the darshan of Isha. On the Ishanya direction, he got the darshan of Isha. That is the Lord. He was on the lying on the in the form of a baby on the banyan leaf, and what he was doing, he was just sucking the toe, because all the devotees always meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. So he wanted to taste what is that nectar in his toe, so he was just sucking. So when Markandeya Rishi came over there, so he was enamored by who is this personality. So he wanted to see, he wanted to come closer. So when he came closer, so during that time, this boy, he just inhaled, and Markandeya Rishi entered into the body of the Supreme Lord. And when he entered, he also sees the same thing what Yashoda is seeing here. So this baby, he is of the very small size, and he can see his stomach is also very small. But in that small frame, he can see all the universes, and all the universal affairs are going on. So you cannot think that it is something like our local train compartment. All the people are congested. When the local train starts from Churchgate, there are some seats. But when it comes to the other station, it was totally so much. So you cannot visualize that the Lord's stomach is very small, so everyone is so much, there is so much congestion. It is not like that. This is, again, the inconceivable nature of the Lord, that they are at their own places. He can see all the people who are before the pralaya, how everything was there. So that darshan, this Markandeya Rishi took. And here also, Mother Yashoda saw all the different planets, and she also saw herself. So similarly here, Markandeya Rishi also saw himself in there, and he was at his ashram only, and he was again got bewildered. And later when this baby just exhaled, so he came out. So the Lord shows him the same Brahmanda darshan to Markandeya Rishi also. So in the same Bhagavatam, Lord took one more incarnation. So that is the Vamanadev incarnation. So there is Aditi and Kashyap, and Aditi wanted the son. Then Kashyap Muni told that now we have to do the Payovrat. So when they did the Payovrat, at the end of that, Lord Narayan came and they told that I am going to appear as your son. And later, on the Dwadashi day, the Lord appeared as the dwarf, a very short form, to Aditi. And when he appeared, all the people could understand that he is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many personalities came with all the gifts, and they gave different gifts to Lord Vamanadev. And when Vamanadev received all those things, then he started his mission. So he came to the place called as Bhrugu Kachcha, on the banks of Narmada River, where this Bali Maharaj was doing the Ashwamedha Yajna. So it is explained in the Bhagavatam that when Vamanadeva was just walking, so at each step, the load was so much that the earth was getting pushed down. So you can imagine, he's a small baby, and what weight he must be having. But again, he is showing his inconceivable power that at each and every step, the earth was getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And he came to this arena of the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj. And he came over there, then Bali Maharaj just welcomed him and he asked, what you want? So before asking anything, he glorified his ancestors. Like, because of your ancestors, like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord has to incarnate. So he was glorifying. And he told, not only that, in your lineage only the Prahlad Maharaj he came, and just because of that Narsingh Bhagwan, he has to protect him. And your father Virochan, he is also not an ordinary person. Because when the Devatas came as disguised as a Brahmana and they begged for the life of your father, but he didn't hesitate to give. He gave the life. So such an glorious lineage or the Vamsha of yours. So I am very blessed that I am going to take some things from you. Then he asked that, what you want? Then he told that I only wanted the three steps of land. Then the Acharyas shows again the bewilderment over here. In the first incarnation, we saw that the Lord, in his belly, he already showed that all the three universes are already inside his belly. That means he is the owner of all the three lokas, all the planets. But how come in this incarnation as the Vaman, he is already the owner of all the three lokas, now he is begging. It is something like, suppose if one landlord is there, he has given his some apartment to some person. Actually, he is the owner of that apartment. But if he goes and he asks, can I get some place so that I can sleep over here, then how that tenant will feel? So the similar situation is here, that Acharya is getting bewildered that already you have shown all these things, they are already in your stomach, but now you came here and you are just begging for the same thing. So this we cannot understand. This is really inconceivable. Then not only that, this person who was very short, then when he wanted the three steps, he shown this Trivikrama form. And with one step only, he measured all the earth. So it is explained that all these big, big mountains like Himalayas, they stuck to his lotus feet like a small sand grains. So these are all inconceivable things that the Acharya is explaining, that one cannot understand the different activities of the Supreme Lord. And in the same Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one more incident, that is the Samudra Manthan Leela. So this Samudra Manthan Leela also very special, because this is a very troublesome activity, this churning of the milk ocean. So for that, the Lord has to take a triple role here. Generally, he takes only one role, but here he is taking the triple role. So he incarnated in three avatars. The first he incarnated as the Kurma Bhagwan, because the Mandar Mountain, it was just sinking into the ocean. So just to make a basement, he came as the Kurma avatar. And when they started churning this Mandar Mountain, so that time it was becoming imbalanced. So there must be some person who can control this one. So again, Lord took the one more incarnation, that is Ajit. He was on the top of that summit and again the balance was done. And the third was when the Prayojan of all these things was there, that now the nectar has to be distributed. Again, there was a quarrel. Again, the Lord has to come appear in the third role, that is the Mohini Murti. So this is the very, one sense, it is a very difficult task, so that the Lord has to take the three incarnations. Otherwise, it is very difficult for the people to get, the involved people to get this nectar over here. But Acharyas explain here that in this Leela, the laws of transformations are all changed over here. So what is that? Now we'll see. If you see the potter, when he wanted to make a pot, what he does? He takes the mud and he puts in that wheel. So he also churned that mud. So when he churned that mud, then what he will get? The pot or some other thing. But whatever product he gets, so that is made up of what? Only one material, that is the earth. So similarly, the person who weaves this cloth, so he takes the thread and he puts into the machine. So he makes the weaving. That is also one type of churning. So what is the ultimate product he gets? So that is only the cloth. So only one raw material is there, that will come as one finished product over here. But the Acharya is getting bewildered that in this Leela, even in the material world, if you see the milk, If you churn the milk, you will get only the cream. No any other products come. But when the Samudra Manthan Leela was going on, so from the Samudra, so you are getting so many different varieties of things. So that is bewildered. Because as the potter, he gets only the pot. The weaver, only he gets the cloth. But here, so many different things are coming. And here, if you see, if you churn the milk, you will get only cream. But here, you are getting all the creamy products. Like the Uchashraivas. It is coming. It is very whitish or the creamish in its color. And the one more creamish thing was the Lord, the moon. He also came over there. And then the Sakshat Mahalakshmi, she also appeared from that. So many different things are coming. So that's why the Acharya is getting bewildered that how it is, all these laws of transformation are getting changed in this Leela. So that's why they are showing their bewilderment over here. And next, the Acharyas explain that not only this one, if you see in this world, there are so many different kinds of plants. And some plants, they are giving very nectarian fruits. But there are in some different jungles where you will get poisonous fruits. But you cannot get the poisonous fruits and the nectarian fruits in the same tree. But here you are getting both the things. First came was the halahal vish. And next, they got this Amruta. So how it is that? So this is quite bewildering. But there is one tree in Dakor. So that is called as Mitha Limdanu Pet. Because there was a devotee whose name was Bodhana. So he is bringing Dwarkadish from Dwarka to this Dakor. So during that time when he was coming in the chariot, so it was the morning time. So now it was the time for the Lord to do his teeth cleaning, that he wanted some datun. So he just took one of the branch, he touched one of the branches of that particular neem tree and took the twig. And even if you go today, that particular branch which is touched by the Lord, that is sweet. That is not neem. Again, this is the inconceivable nature of the Lord. Therefore, the Acharyas are telling that here, all these things, they are getting changed over here. So similarly, in our life also, when we start our devotional practice, the first thing that comes is the anarthas, like the halahala vish. But still we have to continue, so that and we will get this nectar. It is something like if one room is there, and the room, nobody is staying there for so long, then what will happen? So much dust will be there. But when you initially enter into that room, you cannot perceive that what is the amount of the dust is there. You think, okay, it seems it is okay, there is not so much dust is there. But when you start getting the broom and started brooming, then you can understand how much dust is there. But when you see that, arre, pehle hi achha tha, so the dust was not there, now I am getting so much dust, then if you stop that brooming, then the room never gets cleaned. So similarly, when we start our devotional practice, so many anarthas will come. But we should not stop there. We have to just continue with the process, so that all the anarthas will be cleansed and end we will get the our desired goal. And also in Ramayana, there are so many different pastimes where the Lord shows these inconceivable activities. And if you see our Shastras, in like in Bhagavatam, all these Bhagavatam is divided into 12 cantos. These cantos are called as Skanda. Skanda means the branches. So we can see the our rishis or our sages, when they did all these literatures working, so it seems that they are the lover of the nature. So they give the different branches or the aspects of the tree to the different parts of the scriptures. So in the Bhagavatam, there are different Skanda. Skanda means the branches. And in the Mahabharata, there are Parvas. Parva means the knots in the tree. The different knots are there, so they are the Parvas. And also in Ramayana, there are Kanda. Kanda means the different trunks of the tree. It shows that they are having some love for the nature also. So in the Ramayana, there are different Kanda sections. The Balya Kanda, Aranya Kanda, Kishkindha Kanda, Yuddha Kanda, Sundar Kanda, Uttar Kanda, and all those things. So the first one is the Balya Kanda. So if you see the Balya Kanda, Balya means the childhood. But if you see, there are hardly any childhood pastimes of the Lord. But still it is called as Balyakand. So it is also bewildering. So why it is called as Balyakand? So the Acharyas explained why it is called as Balyakand. So the Balyakanda means it is not in respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it is in respect to the audience or the person who is reading or the reader. So how to explain this? So they give one example. If you are on the earth and if you wanted to see the sun, so the sun appears like one small coin, 1 rupee coin. But is it the sun, it is of the size of the only 1 rupee coin? It is not like that. But as you approach nearer and nearer to the sun, so what will happen? Its size getting on increasing, and when you approach there, then you will understand what is the, how much big that planet is. So similarly, when we start this, reading this Ramayana, we cannot understand what is the magnanimity of the Lord. So similarly, we are in the stage of this Balya or the childhood. But when we go on reading, then as we can, the size of the planet of this sun can be revealed. So similarly, we can also get understanding of the magnanimity or the greatness of the Lord. Therefore, this is called as the Balyakanda. Otherwise, there are no any childhood pastimes. But the other Acharya explained that this is not Balyakanda, this is Balakanda. Because if you see in this Balyakanda, all the different prowesses of the Lord has been shown here. When he was even small, so during that time only he killed the Tataka, Subahu, Marij, and all those things. Therefore, this is not Balyakanda, but this is Balakanda. He shows this, the prowess over here. So, Vishwamitra Muni, he came to the palace of Dasharatha Maharaj, and he wanted the Lord Ram. So again, Acharyas explained that when you come and you have a choice that you can get any different material opulences or the Supreme Lord, the practitioner always have the choice of the Supreme Personality of God and not the any opulences. So when the Vishwamitra Muni came to Dasharatha Maharaj asked, whatever you want, I am ready to give. So but he is the practitioner, Vishwamitra Muni, so he is not interested in any opulence of the Dasharatha Maharaj. He told that I am only interested in the Ram, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Dasharatha Maharaj, he has that putra, Vatsalya, he could not, wanted to give, but he would understand that if he didn't give, then he may curse. So because of that, he told, okay. Then Vishwamitra Muni took this Lord Ramachandra along with Lakshman, and they went there. Then in the jungle, he killed the Tataka, Subahu, and Marich, and they further continued their journey. And when they were coming, so that time there was one ashram and nobody was there. During that time, Ram asked that whose ashram is this? Then Lord Vishwamitra narrated the story of Gautam Rishi and Ahalya. Then Vishwamitra Muni told that now you are the person who are going to deliver this Ahalya. Then Ram came over there and he touched. So just by his touch, that Shila become Bala. That stone, it appears in the beautiful form of Ahalya. So again, the Acharyas explain that how is it that she got this form over here, that she becomes the stone over here. Some people may say that Indra came over there and he had the some bad thing to her, he touched. So because of that, Gautam Rishi cursed her and she become this stone over here. But some may ask this question that actually if you see all our senses are governed by, there are some predominating deities or the devatas. So they are controlling all our different organs over here. And their king is the Indra. So that means the Indra is already having the control over everybody's body. That means he also got the control over the body of the Ahalya before he is touching also. Then how it is that, how we can understand that this pastime happens over here. Then some Acharyas explain that this is just because of the Gautam Rishi has got so much power that was creating some problem with him. So just to reduce his power, so because of that, this pastime has been enacted. So one time Prabhupada, he went to one life member's house for the program. The program was done. And later, all the people were sitting, the devotees, and they are honoring the prasadam. The prasadam was very delicious. And after the program, Prabhupada, he came back to the ashram. And after some time, one devotee came and he told that this and this particular devotee is having some stomach problem. Then Prabhupada told that, yeah, I observed him. He ate some 25 puris. So because of that, he is getting this indigestion. So similarly here, this Gautama Rishi, he also got so much power, so he could not handle that one. So there is a point that he is having some indigestion. So he is, the main thing is his power has to be reduced. So because of that, there are two incidents that took place. And because of these two incidents, the very good results have been appeared. So the first thing is, when he was residing at his ashram, so during that time there was a drought. When there is a drought, but he has got his so much power by his austerities, only his ashram, it was very nice, and he able to grow all the different things. So because of that, there are so many sages, they used to come for begging to him only. Because so many sages are coming to him, and he is giving all the charities, so again his amount of punya, it was again raising. So when the devatas, they understood that again it is getting some problem, so during that time they make a plan, they send Parvati along with Ganesh. And Ganesh, he become a calf, and the Parvati become the cowherd lady, and that calf is entered into the ashram of this Gautama Rishi, and it started eating all the grains over there. So when Gautama Rishi saw this, he came over there and he was angry. He just took one blade of grass and he just touched. So just because of that, the cow died over there. Then all the sages came over there and they are telling, now you did the Gohatya. So because of that, we cannot come and beg alms from you. So they also vacated that place. Now he could not understand what to do. Then he started doing the penances, and ultimately he brought the Ganga from the head of Lord Shiva. So that is none other than this Godavari. She is also called the Gautami Ganga. But still his power was so much. So because of that, now the devatas, they wanted to do something. So then they devised this plan that the Indra will go and touch, and he will become angry, and she will curse his wife Ahalya so that she can become the stone. So this was the thing that the acharyas explained, that this is the internal reason why the Ahalya become the stone over here. So similarly, our heart is also like the stone. Until and unless we have the touch of the lotus feet of the Lord, it is not going to get the transformed over here. Then after this incident, Vishwamitra Muni, he took Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman to Janakpuri. So they came to the Janak Maharaja's place over there. And on the second day, Vishwamitra Muni met Janak Maharaj, and he told, I brought these two young boys, Ram and Lakshman, and we have heard that you have got this big bow, very famous bow, and they wanted to see this one. Then Janak Maharaj told, okay, I will show that one. And he told some servants to bring that big bow. And he told about that bow also. So this is the Shiva Dhanush. And he told that this is given by Lord Shiva only to my ancestor, whose name was Devarath. And from that time onwards, all my ancestors, they are just worshipping this, the big bow of Lord Shiva over here. And because my daughter, she is also having inconceivable power, because she is Ayonija. Because when I was plowing the field, during that time I got her. So I wanted that the person who string this bow, so he will be able to marry my daughter Sita. Then Vishwamitra Muni told that, okay, now Ram will try. Then Ram, he came and he took that one. And this Dasharatha Maharaj, before he was explaining that, before this one there are so many people. Even the devatas also came and they tried, but they could not do anything. And I think any teeny human being, he can just move this one. This is not possible for the human being to move also. He was just telling like that. But when Lord Ramchandra came over there, when he touched that one, he just lifted that one, just like the small boy, he can just lift a lotus flower like that. And then he stringed that one. And before the stringing only, it broke. So that was the inconceivable power of Lord Ramachandra. And then the marriage took place, not only Ram, but the Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughan, everyone. And then the marriage party was just coming. towards the Ayodhya. So during that time, Dasharatha Maharaj was talking with Vasishtha, and he told that, "I am seeing so many bad omens here. I don't know what is going to happen." But Vasishtha Muni told to Dasharatha Maharaj, "You may be seeing so many bad omens, but I am seeing some good omens also. Therefore, don't worry about that." So the caravan they went ahead, and after some time, they could see that there is a big hurricane type thing is coming just in front of them. So much dust is coming, storm is coming. They could not understand what is this. Then Dasharatha Maharaj could understand that there must be again some problem. And from that dust, there appeared one personality who was holding an axe on his one shoulder and the bow in his hand. So he came over there. Then the Vasishtha and other the munis, they were there and they could understand that who is this personality. Then they told that, "Oh, this is Parushuram." And they are discussing among themselves, all the sages, that we heard that this Jamadagni's son, he wanted to take the revenge because Jamadagni was killed by the Kshatriyas. So he wandered 21 times all over this planet. But we heard that after wandering 21 times, now he left all this killing business and he gave all the land to Kashyap Muni. And now he went to the Mahendra Parvat and he is having a very peaceful life. But we don't know why he is again coming here in this position. So they could not understand why it is happening. So they are just bewildered. They could not understand. So during that time, Parushuram, he came straight forward. And during that time, Dasharatha could sense that now he may harm my sons. So he wanted to stop Parushuram. But Parushuram was a very unstoppable personality. He came and he came direct to Lord Ramachandra and he started talking with Lord Ramachandra. He told, "Oh, Raghunandan, I heard that you have broke one great bow that is made up of Lord Shiva. So congratulations for that, because this is very inconceivable activity. This is very superhuman activity." But Parushuram told that, "But that is not sufficient. I have got one more bow." So he showed this is the Vishnu bow. So this is greater than this Shiva Dhanush. And he narrated the history of this Shiva Dhanush and this Vishnu Dhanush. He told that all these both bows, that is Shiva Dhanush, which is called as Pinaka, and this Vishnu Dhanush, which is called as Sharanga, both were made by Vishwakarma, who is the architect of the Devatas. And the Shiva Dhanush, that is the Pinaka, that has been given to Lord Shiva because he wanted that one to kill this Tripurasura. So for the Tripurasura Samhar, he used this Pinaka, and so that was the Shiva Dhanush. And the other thing that has been given to Lord Vishnu. And one time there was a discussion among all the demigods that who is great, Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu. So they put forward this question to Lord Brahmaji. Then Brahmaji told, "Okay, now let us have a test." Then he told Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu also that you both of you come and you show your prowess. Then Lord Shiva, he came with his Shiva Dhanush. And the Lord Vishnu, he came with his Sharanga bow. But it is explained that when Lord Vishnu came and just stood forward in front of Lord Shiva and he only did humkara, he just uttered hum. So just because of that, the dhanush of Lord Shiva, it becomes immovable. And Lord Shiva himself, he becomes stunned. He could not move. So when the people could understand that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, they are the great personality, and if they are started quarreling, then what is going to happen? So because of that, so many sages, they came over there and they told that, "Now you stop all this quarreling business. It is not good." Then they are pacified. But the Devatas, they got the answer that Vishnu is the greater than this Lord Shiva over here. So you have broken the Shiva Dhanush, that is inferior. But this Vishnu Dhanush, this is the superior. So now you take this one and fight with me. So then Lord Ramachandra told, "Okay, I am also Kshatriya, I have to obey this one." So he took the Vishnu Dhanush from the hand of the Parushuram and he took the arrow and now he was about to attack this Parushuram. So again this question remains the same, that actually this Parushuram, he left all this killing business, but why he appeared again here with all the astras and shastras? Why he wanted to fight? Basically, he was a Brahmana. Just because of some emergency business, he becomes a Kshatriya. But now his revenge was completed. Now he was doing again the Brahmana lifestyle, but again he came over there. So that was again, that was the question of this Vasishtha and all the sages there in the discussion. So they could not understand why Parashuram came over there. So our acharyas explained that why Parashuram came there with the weapons over there. So there was one demon whose name was Atula. So this Atula demon, he also did so many austerities. So then he pleased Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva came over there and he asked any boon. And he asked that I wanted the moksha. Then Lord Shiva told that is not my department. So how can I give? So how can I give this moksha? Then he told, no, somehow you have to do something. Then he told only one personality can give moksha. Who is that? That is Lord Vishnu. Then he told, okay, where is this Lord Vishnu? Then he told that now Lord Vishnu appeared as this Lord Parashurama. So only thing is that you have to take shelter of Lord Parashurama in his body. If you be there in his body, then that you can have this mukti. Then now he came to Lord Parashuram. But how he can enter? Suppose somebody's house is there, he wanted to enter. So he needs some permission of the owner. So somehow he pleased by his talk with Lord Parashuram. Then Parashuram told, okay. Then he told that, okay, you can live in my nabhi. He told, okay, I will live over there. But when he was about to enter, during that time, Lord Brahmaji came over there. And Lord Brahmaji came and he told, you can stay in this body until and unless this person, his power is weakened or he is got defeated. But as soon as his power is weakened and he was about to be defeated, then you no longer, you can stay in his body. So that was the thing that Brahmaji told. But he told, okay, I am going to stay over there because I know he is the champion of the champions. Who is going to defeat him? The Lord Parashuram, because 21 times he attended so many tournaments and he has the he was the winner. So who is going to defeat him? Then he entered into the body of Lord Parashuram and he was staying over there. And now this is the situation here. Now here there are two incarnations. So it is something like in the movies, the superstar is there. Sometimes he makes the double role. And some situations are like that. The two roles that played by the superstar, they are quarreling with each other. So they are again the same thing. Here also incarnation of the Lord. Here also incarnation of the Lord. And both are fighting over there. So this is bewildered. So to see this one, there are so many people they assembled in the sky also. Now, this is the reason why the Parashuram came over there and he challenged Lord Ram. So when Lord Ram took this Vishnu Dhanush on his hand, so along with taking the Dhanush from the hands of Parashuram, he also took the Vaishnava Shakti. It is explained in Valmiki by the Ramayana that he took the Vaishnava Shakti inside the Parashuram from that person, the Parashuram. Because Parashuram is the Shaktyavesh avatar. He has got that the Shakti of the Lord in his body. And the original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Ramachandra. As soon as he took that Vaishnava Shakti, he becomes weak. And when he becomes weak and he was about to defeat, as the Brahmaji told, the Atula, he could not live over there in the lobby. So he has to come out. So he immediately come out. And he becomes the target of that arrow which the Lord Ramachandra, and he shot that one. So this was the reason that the acharyas explained that why Lord Parashurama came with all these weapons so that he wanted to fight with Lord Ramachandra over here. And here if you see, again this incident proves that Lord Vishnu is greater than Lord Shiva. So how acharyas explain, when Lord Ramachandra took the bow of this Shiva Dhanush, he could not string that one. So in Sanskrit, the guna means the string also, and the guna means the quality also. So here he could not string that one. That means here the guna becomes apurna. That means the string is not completed. So similarly, the quality of the Lord Shiva, they are not complete. That's why before stringing that Shiva Dhanush, it broke. But for the Vishnu Dhanush, he can able to string that one. That means here the string or the guna or the quality, they are complete. Therefore, we see our acharyas also explain, Lord has got all the 64 qualities and Lord Shiva has got 55 qualities. So this also incident explains that Lord Vishnu is the the greater personality. And again, Lord Ramchandra, then after this one, we see in the Aranyakand, the Sita was kidnapped by the Ravana, and they were in search of Sita, and they came to this Jatayu. When he came to the Jatayu, he could not understand that this person helped Sita, but he came over there and he wanted to kill Jatayu. And during that time, Jatayu told all the narrations that what happened. The law, this Ravana came and he took your wife Sita to Lanka. So I wanted to save your wife Sita, but I could not because I was very weak and I am old and I could not have any weapons in my hand. So because of that, he cut my wings and now I fell down on this ground over here. Then Ram becomes very much pacified. But because this Jatayu was so much wounded, so it was his last time he wanted to give up his life. So it was the great fortune of this Jatayu that he gave up his life on the lap of Lord Ramachandra over there. And then Lord Ramachandra did this Daha Samskar, that is the final rites to this Jatayu. Lord Ramachandra could not do this final rites for his own father, that is Dasharatha. But he did this one for Jatayu. Why it is so? Again, the Acharyas explained. So one time when Dasharatha Maharaj was there, he wanted to help these devatas. So he went to one of his celestial planes, that is the Pushpak, and he went to the Devalok and he took part in the party of the devas and he was attacking the Rakshasas over there. And in the course of this battle, he was about to just fell down from the plane. So during that time, Jatayu came over there and he just helped Dasharatha Maharaj from falling. So because of that, Dasharatha Maharaj becomes very much pleased to Jatayu. And then Dasharatha Maharaj asked, you saved my life, so please ask any benediction. Then the Jatayu told that, your son will become my son, so please give me that benediction. So because of that one, the Dasharatha Maharaj, he could not take the final rite for himself, but he gave that chance to this Jatayu over here. And again here we see this Lord Ramachandra, he is showing this inconceivable nature over here. If you see this Jatayu, he did not do any type of yoga. He did not do any karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, or bhakti yoga. Why? Because it is not born in the species where he can do any practice of this karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, or the bhakti yoga. But still, Lord Ramachandra helped him that he can get the final destination, that is the moksha, the final one. And also the Shastra explained, if the person is killed by a Brahmana, then that person, he never gets this mukti in this life. So this Jatayu, it was killed by the Ravana. So Ravana was the Brahmana. He was the Brahmana Putra. So because he was killed by the Brahmana, according to the Shastras, the Jatayu should not have got any the Sadgati or the perfect destination. But still Lord Ramachandra overruled this one and he gave the final destination. So this is all the inconceivable thing. And to get this moksha marga in one's life, this is very difficult. There are so many paths. If you wanted to find out the path to this Delhi or Calcutta, it is very easy. You can find out somehow. But to get the path for this final destination or the moksha, so this is the very toughest path. So Lord Ramachandra, he not only showed this Jatayu, this moksha marga, which is the very toughest one. The toughest marga he could understand and he can show this one to Lord Jatayu, but he could not understand the path which Ravana took Sita to the Lanka. So this is most bewildering. That's what the Acharyas explain. So in this way, there are so many different bewildering pastimes of the Lord. But ultimately, why he is doing all those things? So that ultimately he can take everybody. And in the final, the pastime of the Lord Ramachandra also, he did the same thing. So when he entered into the Saryu River, so during that time, Lord Brahmaji came over there and he told, whoever is living in this Ayodhya, they just enter into this Saryu and they will get the perfect destination. So it is explained that during that time there are so many trees and worms and so many things. Everyone entered into the Sarayu. And these people also, they never did any bhakti or anything. So what was their fortune? Their fortune was they are just staying in the Ayodhya. So and they got this great destination. So the Lord Rama's, this planet is called as Saket Dham. And then the outskirt of the Satyakita Dham, there is a place called as Santanika Lok. So all these people, they entered into this Santanika Lok over there. So that is the greatness. So similarly, Prabhupada also established this ISKCON and he told us only one instruction, you just stay in ISKCON. So similarly, we also have to stay as all these creatures, all these things, they stayed in Ayodhya. So similarly, we have to stay in, just in ISKCON. So when the time comes, so during that time, we will also achieve our final destination. Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.